So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Corinthians, these words, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I think it's common knowledge among Christians of just how troubled, how messed up we would say today was the congregation in the city of Corinth back in the first century. Messed up. Congregation there in Corinth had been established by the Apostle Paul when around the year AD 50, he had lived in Corinth for about 18 months and there preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews and Greeks, to the rich and the poor, to the free and the enslaved. The end result of that preaching being the congregation of Christians in Corinth. The Holy Spirit having worked within the hearts of those hearing the word of God there, and they then professing their faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After Paul's departure from Corinth, however, all sorts of things started to happen within the congregation there. Members of the congregation split into factions, some saying they followed Paul. Others saying they followed Apollos. Others yet they followed Peter. Others, Jesus. And that was just the beginning of the difficulties there. For having heard the gospel of the free forgiveness of sin, which is ours in Jesus Christ, the Christians in Corinth began to pride themselves in just how sinful they could be. That is, at how tolerant they could be of those sinning. And sinning horribly among them. Squabbles there were aplenty with members of the congregation ending up taking each other to court. Fornication was an issue, as was the Corinthians' concept of marriage, divorce. Greeks and Romans who had become Christians were still in the habit of interacting with the goings-on at the pagan temples there in Corinth, where sacrifices were made to idols with regularity. Questions of how the Christians in Corinth were supposed to dress in public were raised, as well as how they were supposed to celebrate the Lord's Supper and what they were supposed to do with their spiritual gifts. Questions concerning the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead were even raised. So taking in all of these problems, all of these challenges, the immorality of the Christians in Corinth, their pride, their arrogance, their stupidity and ignorance, and a whole host of other issues of personal conduct as they interacted both with their fellow Christians and the members of the greater society of Corinth within which they lived. How really could those Christians in Corinth be considered to be Christians at all? How could they be considered to be Christians? I mean, as I said a few moments ago, they were really messed up, which any reading of 1 Corinthians plainly and clearly demonstrates. And yet, the Apostle Paul can begin his letter to them by saying, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way, you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Paul talking about there. How could that even be true? How could Paul speak to and about those messed up Christians in Corinth in that way? Well, Paul could speak to the Christians in Corinth in that way because it was true. It was true. For the undeserved love of God, that is his grace and favor, had indeed been poured out upon the people of Corinth by God, allowing the people there in that city to actually hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear it proclaimed and preached in their city for 18 months. It was by the favor of God, his grace, that this had happened, calling the Jews there in Corinth to embrace Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah, calling the Greeks and Romans to believe in Christ as the very Son of God, the light of the world, sent into the world to drive back the darkness of sin from hearts and souls and minds and to forgive that sin. Here I'm reminded of the commissioned by God, the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, where God says to Ezekiel, I send you to them, that is to the children of Israel, I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that there has been a prophet among them. Well, the same thing could be said about the Apostle Paul arriving in Corinth and living there for 18 months and preaching the gospel, the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Yes, the Corinthian Christians were indeed given the grace of God from the very fact that the gospel was preached in their city. So yes, first and foremost, the Apostle Paul could be thankful that that had happened. So what then? What then do we do with all the problems, the troubles, the stupidities, the idiocies of the Christians in Corinth? How is it that Paul, in spite of so many issues, could still speak so glowingly about the Christians there? Well, it's because the Apostle Paul knew that the Christian life was not so much a life of being, it was a life of becoming. Christian life was not so much a life of being as a life of becoming. That is, once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we set about upon a lifelong pursuit of Christ's likeness with all sorts of stops and starts upon the way. For it's not like we make a decision for Jesus and then we suddenly stop sinning and become perfectly righteous Christians in all that we do or say or think. It is instead that being called by the gospel and enlightened by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're set upon a path of becoming, that is, of becoming more and more like Christ throughout our lives. And in that process, our own problems and troubles and stupidities and idiocies get in our way, may even wreak havoc in our lives in one way or another, as we are challenged from day to day to day to understand and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what that means in our existence in these end times. Our chief hang-up nowadays, our chief hang-up in this black and white time, this yes or no world, is that we think that somehow it's either one thing or another when it comes to Christian faith in life. That is, either that we're Christians and so we live a life according to Jesus, avoiding all sin and embracing a view of our neighbor in the world which is perfect in all of its aspects and is without spot or blemish, or we come to the conclusion, having tried Christianity, that we just cannot live like Christians. We struggle from day to day, not understanding this, not grasping that, not being able to think or act or speak like we think we should be able to think or act or speak because we're Christians. And having tried and tried and tried to be Christians, we simply give up. Give up and hope for the best, hope that somehow our lives and afterlives will be somewhat tolerable apart from Christ. Now, the problem with both points of view is that they once again understand the Christian life to be one of being and not becoming, of either living it or not living it, of having it or not having it. But in reality, our life in Christ through faith in Him, as Paul's letter to the Corinthians demonstrate, is a giant becoming in which we all together in congregations gather around the Word of God and the sacraments of our Lord and Savior Jesus are struggling and striving daily to become more and more like Him, our norm. And for that to occur among us, we must understand our own Christian life as a daily challenge. But also that the daily life of every other Christian around us is a challenge as well. We're challenged to live the Christian life, and they're challenged to live the Christian life. But it's a challenge, a daily challenge for which we have everything that we need. We have everything for this challenge with which we're faced. For we've been given the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and in every way we are enriched in Him in all speech and in all knowledge. Martin Luther noted almost 500 years ago now that in Christ's kingdom, His Christians are not perfectly holy. They are instead in the process of beginning and increasing in their holiness. That's why anger, wicked desires, anxiety, and other evil weaknesses of the old Adam are still found among Christians. These are the burdens of our neighbor we are to bear, as we read in Galatians 6. And these are their weaknesses we are to put up with, as we read in Romans 15. For Christ put up with and bore the same burdens and weaknesses in his apostles, and Christ daily bears them in those who are his. That means you and me. Now, there are people who expect to find the fruits of the Spirit perfectly expressed in all Christians, thinking that all Christians should be meek and good and patient and chaste, as we read in Galatians 5. These people consider the fruits of the Spirit to be commandments and laws. They're unwilling to believe that there are Christians in whom such fruits are not perfectly expressed. So Luther. And clearly the dilemma that we can face when it comes to the Christian life, both when it comes to ourselves and when it comes to others. For we can be our worst critics and beat ourselves into the ground thinking that because we have faith in Christ, because we are Christians, we shouldn't make the slip-ups. We shouldn't make the mistakes we make. We shouldn't become angry or frustrated or short-tempered or sullen. We shouldn't think the evil thoughts that pop up into our minds in an instant. And therefore we question whether or not we are Christians at all. Yes, we can forgive such things when they are expressed by others, but in ourselves, we should know better. We should do better. We should be better. Well, that is certainly the goal. That is the goal for which we should strive every single day and every moment of every single day. But we must remember we're always in the process of becoming just like our Lord and Savior Jesus. And in that becoming, we should not be discouraged, thinking that somehow we're missing something, something that if we just had, we could actually get there. We could actually achieve and become just like Jesus in this life. But we're not missing anything. We're not missing anything. And we know that we are not missing anything, for the grace of God has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus caused us to be enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. In that speech, in that knowledge, we do have what we need. Now, it's simply a matter of realizing that we, from day to day to day, have a ways to go. And so we are ourselves a lot like those Corinthian Christians, aren't we? We're like them, who stumbled and tripped as they lived their daily lives through faith in Christ, knowing that they, in fact, were justified in Christ and sanctified in Christ, as well to the extent that Paul could call them saints. But as saints in Christ, they had a long way to go to be saintly. That is, to learn to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so do we. So do we. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing.